Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Oh, here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Long time no talk.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Since before you went to Spring Snows, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
That's crazy. How was your spring?
It was all right. The snow kind of fucked us.
What do you mean?
Oh, they went around. Dealt with the same adults like 3 different times. And then
did you hunt too far east?
Yes. Well, okay, we hunt the same place all the time, Lake Preston. So.
Okay. Yeah, that line was definitely exaggerated west this year, it seemed.
Yes, and like I said, we dealt with the same. Like, when I got there, obviously there was some snow, and then the adults were rolling through. And then we started seeing juvies. We got now, like, 1 to 3 inches, reverse migration. That thawed out pretty quickly. Juvies started showing up again. 8 inches of snow. That time we didn't see as big of a reverse because I think they just either they were north of the storm or they went west of it or whatever, and I never really experienced like the main mass, you know, where you can look in every direction and there's a 30,000 feed. That just never happened this year. So
I think it was 2013, maybe even for the day. Today's April 13th. It was like between April 13th and 17th was my biggest snow goose shoot ever, and that was in South Dakota in a blizzard.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's when we got those storms. I was like chomping at the bit. I was like, all right, I love hunting in snow. And then it wasn't good. Like, either storm, neither one of the storms was good. I was like, this sucks.
Talked to Trevor. He had a pretty good spring. He said they averaged about 35 in the spread.
That's a damn good average.
That's a damn good average. Was it muddy for you, or did you stay out of that too?
No, it was muddy.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was. Oh. Yeah, so this year I hunted out of a panel blind, which actually was pretty slick. There was a nice little like ditch edge hide thing that worked out really good, but that ditch also flash flooded because of the snow melt. So we were hunting in there. I'm like, it's getting kind of wet in here. So picked
the tide
it up.
Is rising.
Yeah, picked it up, moved it. Fortunately, they're pretty easy to move, and moved it up the hill, and it worked out just fine. And then one other day, when it was 40 mile an hour winds, it like blew into the ditch, came back from break, and it was not there. I'm like, oh fuck.
Did you notice any birds acting dumber since they really hadn't been pursued since Missouri last year, early March of last year?
No, can't say that. I mean,
I didn't think that would be the case, you know. Like,
no, it sounds like the guys had a pretty good year in Arkansas this year, though.
Okay.
So maybe there was some truth to it, but it sounds like Missouri went really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then South Dakota went pretty quick too, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we ended at least a week later than normal, and that was the last one there for like the last week. So.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It went fast. Seen a blizzard in North Dakota today, though.
Yes, I saw that too, and I started drooling a little bit. like, kind of want to go North Dakota right now.
Should I do it? No, I'm not going to do it.
No, I'm not going to do it. But it would have been a good time to do it. That you could get on a, if you could find a nice juvie roost before the storm, you would smash.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Sometimes you can just find a juvie roost and just smash. Sometimes there's adults mixed in. They just haven't been shot at in maybe a long, long time.
Yeah, we had that the last weekend. We got on a feed, nice juvie feed, and we shot 40-something. I don't remember what it was, which isn't, like, amazing, but
so better than I guess I've what type having. Of A-frames, what kind of A-frames were you using?
Lucky Ducks.
Oh, you like those?
I do, actually.
Yeah. I liked them too when I saw them. The head hole is a little obnoxiously big. Did you have any issues dealing with that?
We got some overhead cover.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that, it's
no,
not that
one,
difficult.
One thing I kept talking about doing and then didn't do, but probably will for next year, or, well, I don't have these anyway, so I just make them. But the Lucky Duck layout chairs, they come with a little like apron that goes over you, has stubble straps on it. Well, the first thing I do is cut that off. Because all that really does is collect mud and make those chairs 10 times heavier than they need to be.
Yeah.
But what would be nice is to go ahead and stumble those in, and then you could drape those over the Lucky Duck panel blind. And then you'd have, I mean, you basically made yourself a little pit.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, overhead. Plus, it would
or just
lock in some
heat. Do a white box.
Or just do a white box. I don't know that I could fit 10 people in a white box, but I guess I just need a bigger white box.
You just make more fronts and backs. Right. You only need two sidewalls. That's pretty cool, though, man. No, I actually did not pull the trigger or even attempt to on snow geese this spring.
No, you were just ruffling feathers by selling pins, apparently.
Thought that was going to work that second weekend. It didn't.
What didn't work?
I put it up that I made $1,800 selling pins.
Oh.
And I didn't. I did not do that. I didn't make any money selling pins. Nobody bought one. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, I was just trying to, like, I don't know, just make people believe I did and also see the internet reaction, which was funny.
It was. They reacted.
And then
it was a topic of conversation in the field a couple days.
And then I think I just kind of talked myself into it because I was listing all these reasons why somebody would buy a pin. Like, you know, you wouldn't have to waste a bunch of time and gas. And then I'm like, God damn, I'd buy a pin. And then
I totally believed it.
and then I got home and I actually got a couple legit people reach out to me. And then I was like, I'm going back out. Who wants a pin? And nobody reached out.
And nobody reached out.
I'm like, I'm asleep in. So no, that's fun. And it was cool to go out there and, I showed the wife the migration, which wasn't very impressive considering how strung out it was, you know?
Yeah, it was very strung out without that snow line. I thought the same thing. Even the ducks, like, there was a couple days we got some pretty good pushes of ducks, but nothing like it's been in the past.
I think what is kind of cool about it when it's so staggered and they go up at their own pace and not weather dictated is you get the species separation. Did you notice that at all?
Yes. Very much.
Yeah, like when I took the wife out, it was like we hit a northern pintail zone and then we hit a ringbill zone, and it was just cool to just see that many of the same species with no like adulterants around. So when she got to see like her first pintails, she got to see her first pintails.
Right.
And I'm just over there drooling too. It was cool.
We had a couple pretty good actually we had quite a few good duck days as far as just being covered up and having a good show. Mm-hmm. There was one where they were like, these things, full migration, like coming out of the heavens. In fact, you couldn't even see them with the naked eye. I would just be having the binoculars up just looking around, and I would see a speck on the binoculars, just a pintail just like bowed up, literally just dropping straight down. And like you drop
That's
the binoculars
so cool.
right where you're looking, I'm like, I can't see them. You put them back up, and like, oh, there they are. And then that bird would work all the way down and go to the same flooded corner of the field that every single duck in the county was going to. It's like, holy shit, do these things have good eyes?
Yeah, no kidding. And I don't know what they've got some way of knowing. I don't know. I'm still fully convinced they have senses we don't know about.
I think so. Well, they have to be able to see. I mean, unless it's a, like, you have arrived at your destination, and then they just go straight down. I don't know. They have, like,
I mean, look at, like,
snow geese.
Isn't it weird how they just come out of the horizon for eternity and all are going to the same field?
Yeah.
It's almost like a game of telephone, I feel like. Like, the lead fly's like, we found the food, and it just works its way backwards.
It's possible, or it's visual. I mean, they got a pretty good vantage point flying a mile up. And
yeah, and the white.
Generally, birds have good eyesight, so.
And for ducks, that flicker is just amazingly bright when they when they land on their wings. But other than that, how's it been going?
Good. I mean, other than a lackluster season, it's been good. But I had repeat customers from last year, and we had fun, and probably do it again next year, I'm sure. So it was successful. I've been officially booked, but somebody from Washington who I guided last year came out again this year. They want to come to Minnesota for a wood duck hunt.
Oh, for sure.
I was like, okay. They want one for the wall. I said, well, that we can do that, but it's going to be a fine. Like, you have a 1 week period.
Before. What do you mean?
Well, before you get one that's good and plumed out before they take off.
Hell no, dude. The wood duck I got on my wall is from opening morning.
Really? I mean, I guess mine came from like second opener, but
no, we get that. We get a molt migration of Drake wood ducks from the south.
They come north.
Yeah, so all the banding data from like Louisiana and Mississippi and Georgia, it all tells the same story, and that's first year juveniles pretty much stay in state, and then second and above they migrate to mostly Minnesota, Minnesota. Yeah, and actually. I started researching this because my buddy Adam Johnson called me last fall, and he goes, dude, I've got 50 wood ducks in my yard right now, which isn't crazy. His trees drop acorns every 2 years.
Right.
And he goes, here's the weird thing. They're all drakes. And I go, okay. He's like, I'm literally serious, dude. Every wood duck is a drake. And I thought one was a hen, but it was just a really young drake. And I got the spotting scope on him. I counted them, 51 drakes. Huh. That's really weird. And this was like maybe a week or two or three in the season. And I started Googling that. And right on the like Louisiana DNR website, they've got this band map that shows the second and third year drakes just getting massacred up in central Minnesota.
Really?
Well, yeah, they're a weird creature.
That is a weird creature. I do have a spot that I never really have scouted for wood ducks before, and I definitely have a couple spots that are, I'm like, well, as much as you can guarantee somebody hunting success, I can virtually guarantee you we will shoot wood ducks. Are they good enough for the wall? Well, we'll have to wait and see. But
have you ever hunted a field that was a straight wood duck feed?
Yes, I guess. I mean, I don't know if I can say straight wood duck feed because the geese were using it too, but we knew that a bunch of wood ducks were using it, so we loaded up light for first light, and it worked out. And then once they were done, we shot a pile of them, and then once they were done flying, then we switched loads over for honkers. But yeah, I've seen it.
We used to do that a bunch back in the Goose Buster days. It doesn't seem like there's as many like wood duck feeds as there used to be, but like 15 years ago, man, we could find them almost like four or five a season. And then there would be a debate with the clients like, hey, you want to go shoot wood ducks? And that's, we're going to hunt for 6 minutes. Right. And, and then we're going to go.
Yeah.
So some of them would want the studs for the wall and that'd be cool. And otherwise it'd be like, not really, man. Like, no, I kind of wanted to go hunting, not just one round of trap at daybreak.
Right. That's pretty much what it is too. That's funny. So, we've busted them out of a cornfield setting up in the dark before, plenty of times.
Yeah, they'll come first light, last light.
Yeah, I would say even before light. There's a few times literally we walk out, you're at the field an hour early to set up your honker spread and literally kick wood ducks out of the field. You're like, whoa, what the heck? It's dry. It's not flooded. So they're clearly in there eating.
How many times have you seen geese come to a field an hour before legal, like a solid hour?
Not many.
Seen it a couple few times. Have you? But yeah, not many.
Oh, I have a hawk that I'm looking at right now that has been coming into my yard the last few days. I'm pretty sure he's trying to jack one of my chickens. I'm going to keep an eye on that son of a bitch. If I drop the headphones and sprint out into my yard, you'll know why.
I got a couple people that messaged me like, hey, what happened to Waterfall Wednesday?
Yeah.
Like, well, here's the thing. Dale fucked up.
Here's the thing.
Dale fucked up, and then he didn't press record or something happened. The file got corrupted. So then I decided, well, I'm going to make a couple by myself while he's out in South Dakota. And then I fucked up.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, we'll just have better planning next time. We need to have a backlog of Waterfall Wednesdays, or you just continue to do them. Like I thought the
I
one you
like
did
doing them
was pretty good.
Time. I kind of like that the information is relevant, you know, like this will come out tomorrow, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I like it when it's fresh and relevant.
Well, fresh and relevant is nice, but it's just so, when I'm doing the Snow Goose thing, it's just difficult.
It is,
I just don't have time. I just don't have time. And it'd be one thing if I had reliable internet out there, which I don't. And who knows? We might be at a different place next time. Yeah, it is. It sucks because, like, you hook up to the Wi-Fi, and, I mean, I'm just talking about, like, dicking around your phone doing Facebook or whatever. It's like, why is it just spinning right now? It was just working fine. And then it's real intermittent. I don't know what the deal is, but, like, this will not do.
The Wi-Fi went out in the lodge in Oklahoma, just like 30 dudes with no cell phones.
Oh, no.
It's bad. It's bad.
Oh, no. We had to have a conversation. It was terrible.
After 48 hours with no Pornhub, the hunting camp was getting pretty tense.
You find out if you're straight or not real quick.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I found out when I was like 13. I was like, am I gay? No, no, I'm not. All right, let's go with this then.
Oh, you flew the other direction.
Well, anyways, I went out to Washington, saw the Pacific Calls dude, and built a call.
Yeah, how did that go?
Pretty great.
It looked kind of cool.
It definitely was cool. And I'm always got some crazy ideas like rolling around in my head, you know? So I get there the first day and basically just Alex was explaining to me why he can't build my fantasy tools and my he's like, it's 2021, not like 2121.
3021. What were your fantasy tools?
Yeah. Like, so shit. So I learned a lot from those guys there. And it was super cool because like everything that was possible that I said that came out of my mouth, like I had to be careful what I'd say because I'd be like, let's try it. I'm like, no, I was just spitballing there. This is pretty dumb. Sounds dumb to me. Let's not waste an hour on it. Like, they're just super enthusiastic about finding out why I think the things I think about calling and what would make a better call. And we came up with, like, right at the end of the first day, the computer programmer was about to leave. And I was like, hey, man, just whip some crazy, crazy thing up fast. And that's the one that ended up working. We were all kind of shocked.
Huh. Is this super, super secret, waiting for a reveal or what?
I think so, because it is a design that's never been done before. It needs to be tweaked, too. It's kind of annoying.
This Hawker call?
Yeah. But it should just be more consistent. And once it's fine-tuned, just... Yeah, man, I'm exhausted. I've been like researching music and math and vibration science for like 10 days, 14 days straight.
Wow.
Yeah, man, it's pretty sweet. Big cool project. And then I think we're going to drop it. It's coming out at the Dive Bomb show.
Oh, very cool. When is that?
June 11th, that weekend. Down in St. Louis, Missouri. I bought a plane ticket there for like $150.
Ooh, super cheap.
Yeah, dude.
I might head down there next week.
What for?
Morels.
Oh, you go Morel? When do those pop around here? Another 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah, probably probably a solid month. I mean, I've actually been seeing some people are posting like super, super tiny baby ones. Who knows? Somewhere that has like a good southern exposure. Those are super early, like ridiculous early. So, yeah, I mean... It seems like no matter what the weather is here in Minnesota, it's like mid-May through Memorial weekend is like prime time. So depending on what part of the state, but yeah. But
I really am not good at finding those things. I got a buddy named Jeff Houston. He'll take me out every spring or so and make it fun. But it's not fucking easy.
No, it's not easy. It is fun, though. It's like a little treasure hunt. You got to train your eyes. You got to, you know what to look for. But once you kind of dial them in, you can... can usually get pretty good. Although with that said, my last two seasons have been pretty bleak. But of course, I follow a few different pages, and they're pulsing them like crazy down there, which I shouldn't have done, because now I'm like, I really want to go down there. Yeah, but I also don't have, like, work-wise, I don't have anything, like, super consistent right now. So I'm like, you know what? Why not just try to go down there and actually find them and sell them? You can actually make some decent money doing it.
If you
get a good load of them.
So, and you know what you're doing a little bit.
Right. That's a big if. I mean, I've walked for hours and hours and hours and hours and come home with a hat full. You know, that's not going to cut it. I need, like, 5-gallon buckets full.
And I think if you took like an approach, like kind of like we take on duck and goose hunting, you'd be really successful too. Like you're not really studying, like trying to figure out how to mushroom hunt. You're just studying mushrooms and like just get interested in them and you'll kind of find yourself in the correct terrain.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm pretty much into it. I'm a amateur mycologist.
Dude, I've been watching some mushroom YouTube videos lately too. Those are fucking awesome.
They're pretty wicked. It's a pretty wicked organism.
How they find it, like, like after forest fires, like how did these spores get here? Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's just spores everywhere all the time of like all the different kinds of mushrooms. When a single mushroom releases spores, it's tens of thousands of spores, if not more. And now you're talking however countless amount of mushrooms that are doing that of every shape, size, color, you know, like there's just spores everywhere.
Yeah, but they're saying like after like a forest fire of like, who knows how hot, you know, like a super hot forest fire, they go in there instantly. There's already spores starting to take over.
Well, if you really want to know the science behind it, the spores had already taken root in the actual living organism. The mycelium is under the soil. And the reason you get a fruiting body after a fire is because they know their time is limited there. And so they sprout their seeds.
That's kind of cool.
The mushroom part you actually pick is like an apple on an apple tree. That's not even the main organism. The main organism is in the soil.
Right.
Or in the tree or wherever the substrate of that particular mushroom lives.
Okay, did you watch the roundtable for the Minnesota DNR waterfowl regulation proposals?
I did not watch it, but I read through some of the comments.
What did the comments say?
Well, to my surprise, there's a fair amount of people that aren't in favor of a teal season. That are not in favor of a teal season.
Well, yeah, that's why we didn't get it for all this time.
I don't understand.
I
mean, I understand, either. But I don't understand.
Because yes, but I feel like it's based on
ignorance. You're right.
Maybe. It could be based a little bit on other experience. It's a really big state, so maybe try to give the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they just had a different experience that made an impression on them because there's so many things that could happen in a state so large.
The problem is none of it's actually based in experience. I mean, not experienced with a teal season. It's all possibilities. They're worried about possibilities. And then when you bring up, if you try to quell their fears by using other states as an example, they don't listen. They think they're going to destroy the wood duck population, which is literally like an argument I got that was the words that one of the guys used. We're going to destroy the wood duck population.
Maybe Louisiana's
from incidental tour. Well, for one,
they're
it's
all
just,
drakes anyway.
There's not that many, right? There's not that many that get shot accidentally.
Nope.
So that's not the case. And let's just say they did. Let's just say a bunch did get shot accidentally. Well, we're not destroying the population when we hunt them on purpose. So why would a 1-week period of accidental harvest destroy the population? It's just an unfounded fear.
I'm looking at their results that they got. They posted the preliminary results of the survey.
Okay.
And what does it say? I think 1,200 people responded online. That kind of blew me away. Wait, 1,223 hunters had completed the questionnaire online. 180 pieces of mail were returned undeliverable from, I guess, the letters. But yeah, 1,200 people? What the fuck?
That's not very many.
But that's why these people who do respond have such an outweighed...
right, have such an impact.
Such an impact. Like, if you could get a couple good organizations to like spread the word and get your message out. Like, we want this question responded to in that way, and everybody's cool with that. Like, you could really move the needle. There's only 1,200 out of 80,000 people that, and the DNR's going, well, our constituents want this.
Right.
One thing I was a little confused by, it looked like they moved the, looks like they moved the southern zone to have the same dates as the central zone this year.
That's dumb.
Yeah, like the exact same.
That's super dumb.
I agree.
They, honest to God, the DNR has an impossible job, though. I've been saying, it's like, you cannot please these hunters. It opens too soon. It opens too late. The split's in the wrong spot. We shouldn't even have a split. Why is the season closed so early? Like, no matter what you do, somebody's going to bitch.
Right.
It's like, you have three zones that stretch out your 60-day season to, you know, 70 days or whatever it is, if you're willing to put a little windshield time in, and that's not good enough.
Yeah, and here, if you want to, what percentage of Minnesotans that responded to the survey would you say support Youth Waterfowl Weekend?
50.
48.8.
That's pretty close.
Damn good, dude. How about strongly oppose Youth Waterfowl Day?
5%.
11.2.
Oh, okay.
Another thing I thought was kind of weird is the Veterans Day. The Veterans Day hunt didn't get considered.
Really?
And that had strong support. A lot of other states are doing it, and they would do it like on our Youth Waterfowl Day anyways.
So
you know,
it'd be
like,
the same. Yeah, you're just double dipping on a free hunt.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess it probably would be, but and it had strong support, and it just wasn't considered. I'm like, well, what's the harm, I guess, and even just, I mean, nobody's going to be opposed to that, I wouldn't think. Right. Preferred length of a potential teal season, 30% of people said zero.
Well, they're idiots.
17.5% said 16 days, the full season.
Only?
So about half the amount of respondents preferred a full teal season. Double the amount of respondents wanted none. So that's why we get these regulations.
That is so fucked up.
It is. About 25 and 28 for the 5-day and the 9-day. So they went with the 5, I guess. That's support for early teal season. Didn't I just say that? What's the other thing I read? Maybe this is for those. Oh, no. Yeah. What I read you earlier was the bonus teal.
Ah.
Was that
zero?
No, that was for strongly opposed, support, strongly support. So it's strongly support. Let's redo it. We're gonna restart.
You're
how many people? How many people strongly support the teal season?
48%.
23.
Oh,
we were way fucking off.
Way off.
And then strongly opposed, 20. So it's pretty evenly split between strong and strong. Why the fuck would you strongly oppose it? Like,
okay, so the one was they think they're going to destroy the wood duck population. The other argument that I was in with the same two clowns was they're going to make the birds migrate sooner.
Okay, well, why aren't the Wisconsin teal here and the Michigan teal?
Exactly. I mean, you don't have to convince me. I tried to get them, like, these are the same. You know what? Your same arguments are when people wanted to hunt early geese over water, and everybody threw a fit. It's going to push the birds out. You're gonna kill ducks. All the same bullshit arguments, and it's not true.
And another confusing thing was the open water regulations. That didn't have really much support or people against it. Like, in fact, I think it had pretty good support, and they just didn't consider it.
I don't know.
And they said it wouldn't really affect many people. Okay, well.
Well, then throw it in there.
There, yeah, why not have it, you know? And then also, one of the stated goals of the waterfowl regulation changes that they're trying to do was make regulations simpler. So we could start right on that motorized decoy restriction. That's the first thing that pops into my brain. Like, federal land, state land. What if state land touches federal land? What day is it in the year?
Right.
Fucking A.
That and the open water thing. What is partially concealed? Do I need one stock or do I need two stocks?
You need one cattail, yeah. Anything poking out of the water.
I know, but that's dumb. Let's just get rid of that too. Why can't I hunt? What if I want to hunt on, you know, a rocky lake that doesn't have any vegetation? I can't.
The, the thing I worry about when it comes to motorized decoy regulations, my concern is not killing too many ducks when we're using them on opening day. It's some kid that's bored off his fucking ass, just playing on his Game Boy, iPhone. So it shows my age. Playing on his phone the whole morning, going, "Dad, can we go home? Dad, can we go home? This sucks. I fell in the slough. I smell like shit. What are we doing in these cattails?" And like, that kid is never going to want to go duck hunting again. And he might have had like a 20 pack of Blue Wings just bomb and just get that.
Oh, if he had, I didn't know where you were going with this story, but if there was a spinning wing decoy,
he may have had
a better morning.
Yes, or okay. A morning at all, where now you got a kid. How many ducks are going to die? How many ducks will we lose because we have spinners? More, definitely. How many ducks are we going to lose if we don't interest people in ducks?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
You could lose your whole hunt if you lose enough of them, because that same low percentage, eventually you get people that are, you know, one thing you got to consider is that some of these against are probably anti-hunters. They're not
They could be.
They're not even hunters that are weighing in on these. Are
you could be right, because it's not like they screened me like before I took the survey.
Right. It can be anybody, and
easy as I just said. Like, why doesn't a conservation organization push for their agenda on that survey? Why doesn't an animal rights organization do the same thing?
The survey might not be on their radar, but they do all sorts of shady shit. You know, they'll buy bear tags and then not use them. So now states have had to amend it. So like, in order to qualify for a bear tag, you had to have like some way to prove, you know, like if you didn't register a bear in X amount of years, whatever, you can't. I don't know how it was, but they had some way of like ferreting out people that were just buying them and sitting on them.
Well, that's smart.
Yeah.
And those people are as like a troll class like none other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for
sure. So once something gets on their radar, it bleeps hot.
Yep, and that's the other issue that a lot of these people don't understand. It's like, even if you're opposed, even if you're a hunter, even if you're a duck hunter, and let's say you're opposed to the teal season for whatever your stupid reasons are, maybe acquiesce that when you see the bigger picture of losing hunters, because you might not get to do your mallard hunt when you want to do it or at all. If at some point in time hunter numbers drop so much that the anti voice is louder, and then they're just going to do away with the whole thing, and then you're fucked.
I mean, and also if just less and less and less and less and less people hunt, there's no constituency in the government. Like, this is America. Like, we vote for the regulations we want. If nobody wants that regulation, it's gone.
Yep. Squeaky wheel gets a grease. Plus there's less and less money going into the resource. So
yeah, all that conservation taxation just is out the window, and license fees.
Right. And anybody who thinks that my scenario of losing your hunting rights is far-fetched, just look at California. It's not.
Why? What happened there?
Well, they've all but banned trapping statewide.
They
banned the mountain lion hunt now. Well, that's old news. But that's not enough. They're chipping away at all of it.
There is, I think it's Victoria in Australia, there is some waterfowl banning. And Japan has had goose hunting banned since the 70s, and the Netherlands since like the 80s. There's places out there where you can't shoot ducks and geese.
Yeah, it's not that far fetched.
If I had to guess, I'd say that's what their citizens want. So I mean,
right. Well, that's what I mean. That voice is the loudest. And when they finally start talking about this swan season that they've been hinting at, you can for sure bet that all the birders are going to come out in force, and they're going to be pissed about that one.
And I can see that swans are cool as shit and they're pretty. I don't get that bear thing you just said though. Like, who the fuck cares if a bear gets murdered? That's
lots
great
of
for
things,
people,
dude. No, lots of things, dude. Lots of people care about bears. You can post 1 million dead deer pics, nothing. You post one bear pic, and you'll get just a flood of hate.
Really?
You got the Yogi Bear syndrome, man. Like, it's just teddy bears, Yogi Bear, the Coca-Cola bear.
God, I hate bears.
They're warm and fuzzy. I love bears. I think bears are cool as shit, but doesn't mean I don't think they should be hunted. Just think, I like swans. Swans are big. Swans are beautiful, but there's also 70,000 of them, like literally. So 1,000 isn't going to do anything. 1,000 less, I mean. if it's even that much.
Well, shit, dude. I've been talking a half hour. My wife just walked in the door. Let's end this one, and then let's go over some survey data, too. I got the midwinter, some midwinter numbers from at least the Central Flyway that will make, I don't know, they're interesting. I'll put it that way.
All right, all right.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.